everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Ditching G.I. Joe for a few months to do holiday specials. And ooh boy, did Robert Clark Chan find one for us today. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm going to apologize right now for any eating of Thanksgiving leftovers I may be doing into the microphone.
Ew.
You know what? No, I do not apologize. It's the day after Thanksgiving. I don't know when this is going to go out, but I'm cramming my goddamn face, and I'm loving it.
Ew.
Yeah. Chan, now you had some hot takes about Thanksgiving dinner, which forced me to want to start recording immediately because Thanksgiving was not very long ago as we record this. I'll just say it. It was yesterday as we record this on a Friday night. And you believe that Thanksgiving leftovers better the next day.
That's not a hot take. Plenty of people.
Yeah, I think that's a normal take.
I just haven't really done it very much. I guess today I'm feeling it. I'm shoveling it all into my face at the same time, and it's just coming across. Maybe it's just because I'm finding a growing love for those Thanksgiving sandwiches.
See,
cranberry and stuffing and
so. Chan, what I'm hearing is you just got a big bowl, filled it with whatever, and are just eating it as it comes to you. Your transformation into me is finally complete.
Like, I assume that's how Chan eats all his meals, to be honest.
I talk trash about the KFC famous bowls, but not because of the gluttony or the awfulness. Just because they're stealing my shit. Like, my favorite dish is that big ass bowl, ceramic bowl that us Asians use.
See,
we put in rice, we put in stuff, and we just shovel it in our goddamn grobs.
I knew that you were making fun of the KFC famous bowls, to me, one of the five essential food groups, much in the same way like a Republican congressman talks a little bit too much about gay folks.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I can see that, yeah.
How long have you been waiting to say that one, Ray?
Oh, I've got a calendar from 2019 that's just been ticked off every day that I can't make that ref. And you know what? We did it, everybody. We did it.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we did. Or she can. Squirt. Now, look, Chan found something called, and you said you found like a half dozen really terrible looking Christmas specials. So we
scroll down the page. There's so much more.
Oh, boy.
I think he's hit gold. I'm going to say it right now. I think every single one of these is going to be a new classic. Watched every year in every household.
Well, I'll start by saying I fucking hated this one.
You just hate anthropomorphic singing penises, and on you.
I have a lot of thoughts about this. Look, this is the Merry Mirthworm Christmas.
Hold on. Sounds like Ray has a hot take on singing penises. Doing Goldbuster.
He's got a lot of big opinions. He's been waiting a long time to get out.
Guys, I just don't want to be blowing gold here.
Oh, Christ.
No, I don't even know where this came from. I did look up the Wikipedia from this because as soon as I finished watching it, I'm like, how? Where? Why? Who would do this? Because also, if you notice, I forget that Jerry Reynolds is the guy's name, who's like the writer. He does like the main voice and like five other voices. And I think he also listed him as the animator. So this guy can go. And this was on Showtime in 1984. It was an animated Christmas special with two other Mirthworm specials produced.
Yeah, I the fact that it was on Showtime was weird. This whole thing had a very vague, like the way I picture it is this Jerry dude was in church one day and was like, oh, I've got a great idea for an animated special. And then like the church funded it. It all had, even though there was nothing overtly religious about it, it like felt like a weird, like religious thing that they show at like Bible camp because it's like really inoffensive or something. Like I could not put my finger on it, but, and everyone seems like an amateur. Everyone involved seems like an amateur. The voice acting seems like this guy just got his friends to record stuff.
You know what? I was willing to cut him some slack. until that very last character shows up, like at around the 20-minute mark. I think he's the mayor.
The mayor, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was just like, oh, this is the worst voice acting I have heard in some time.
I am telling you, this was like a dude pitched it to his church, and everyone who donated got to voice something. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it.
This church, they all wore white sneakers, and they all passed mysteriously in the late 80s. Due to unfield circumstances.
When Haley's Comet passed, suddenly we never had another Mirthworm special. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Coincidence?
I don't think so. Now, they did make three of these. This is the first one, A Merry Mirthworm Christmas, 1984. Then for some reason, they hung out for 3 years before making a Mirthworm Masquerade, to be confused with Vampire the Masquerade in 1987, and then Mirthworms on Stage in 1988.
Oh, it's just one dude. So that's how long it took him. I will say that, like, the name is very misleading because obviously it's sort of a play on earthworm, but like mirth is not a good thing.
What mirth means joy. What are you talking about?
That's happiness and laughter.
Or in Gina's words, not a good thing.
Yeah, clearly, like, I don't like joy and I don't like amusement and I don't want worms pushing their religious agendas on me.
Please, Gina, why have you not yet accepted Worm Jesus into your heart?
Okay. Can I just say that one of my notes was literally, so this is a Christmas special. The Mirthworms are getting ready to celebrate Christmas. And the existence of a Mirthworm Christmas implies the existence of Mirthworm Jesus.
So you were mad that you didn't get to see a crucified worm.
They just keep trying to crucify him, but his like gelatinous worm body keeps slipping through the nails.
Now, instead of that, instead of being on a cross, would that just be like put him on a fishing hook and throw him into the lake?
Oh no.
Or I mean, it fits.
It's like a straight stick that he's nailed on.
Now, I need to, like, yeah, a lot of fun here.
Well, so, I thought so until Gina came along and literally you said mirth is a bad thing.
Mirth is a bad thing. What? Gina Ippolito. Put it on a t-shirt, everybody.
I'm trying to figure out if you think the word mirth meant something else.
I for some reason in my mind I was thinking
Gina thinks of the story of the three wise men who brought gold, frankincense, and mirth.
Yeah.
And she's like, get that religion out of here.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking it was. I will halfway through it remember what word I'm thinking of and shout it out, but at the moment, my brain is not working.
No, none of our brains are working tonight.
The pink ones look like penises. There's different colored worms, and the pink ones look like penises.
No, yeah, okay. So,
doesn't a baby come out of a mirth canal? I don't want that. Ew, that's painful.
No. Okay, so here's the story. These are called mirth worms. They are 2-inch high worms, anthropomorphic worms, but they have arms, but no fingers.
No, they don't have arms.
That would be weird.
Wait, do they have arms?
Oh, they all have arms.
They all, what?
Oh, of course. I guess.
Hold on, did you watch the cartoon that we watched? Yeah.
I did. I remember at some point, like, one of them closing the door with his tail.
Literally, all of the worms have arms. They're doing carpentry.
Yeah, one of you're them, right.
Like, looking at herself in a mirror. Some dude's painting. This guy's, like, decorating a Christmas tree with
ornaments. But they don't have hands. They don't have hands. They're just, like, nubby arms.
It's one dude doing all of the artwork, Gina. Christ. One draw fucking 10 fingers per.
Much like AI, he could not master hands.
No.
And you know what? He found a workaround. Yeah, this is
or
weird.
Or a worm around.
Thank you.
I see what you did there. I acknowledge that there was wordplay engaged in here, and I do not care for it.
Yeah, I did not enjoy that at all. This is a real weird show. Like, it asks a lot of questions that it is never going to answer. about this worm society. Near as I can tell, this is a worm, a leftist worm society where the worms just have houses that they can just move in and out of with no rent being due. And you just leave a note on the door when you're out so a different worm can have the house. But also there's servants because the main lady, a Wormaline, apparently Teddy, this other worm, is her manservant.
No, he's
her
assistant.
Except I looked over.
Just because they don't show the rental agreement and our main worm signing a rental agreement, it doesn't mean that he didn't rent a house. It's clearly a capitalistic society. The wealthy lady is trying to get a position of power.
There are elements of capitalism here, but I also got a strong not strictly a communist vibe, but definitely a kind of 60s commune, kind of hippie, let's all, you know, live together. Maybe even a Fraggle. I think there's like a Fraggle Rock kind of.
Yeah, I can see Fraggle Rock.
That's mentality around here. So,
yeah, I'm sorry. When Bert Worm turns to the camera and says, each according to their need, each according to their talent, I'm like, guys, we're not in capitalist world anymore.
I didn't even know that worms could grow beards, and yet there was Carl Wormarks.
Nailed it.
No,
I was trying because
no, that's too hard.
Write down the names of all of the characters because I remember I took a quick look at the Wikipedia, saw that like it doesn't have the breakdown like you would with most cartoons because there were only a couple of them. So I was like, okay, I got to get the names down. And there's like Wilbur Diggs. Okay, he digs in the earth. That's a worm name. Crystal Crawler, like a Nightcrawler. Got it. Cool. Wormaline Wiggler. I don't know what Wormaline is supposed to be
a fancy sounding lady name. That's what I think.
Wiggler though. That's a worm. Sure. Bert Worm, because Jesus Christ, they had to start there. They had to think like, what's the main character? Bert Worm. and then go from there.
Yeah. That is a good point. I mean, I guess if he's supposed to be the every worm, it makes sense that that's his name.
There's one literary work in all of Western canon where that is the case. You don't normally call someone Bert Human. obviously that's everybody's insert character, and they need to know that, so we're going to call him Bert Human, except for the Odyssey, where he says that his name is No Man. So that's one, and we haven't done it since. It's been...
Well, it was time. Only one worm creator was brave enough.
There's some other worm named Bags. I don't know if his last name is first name or what, but the assistant / man slave, according to Ray, is Teddy Totters. And I'm like, I tried to look up, is there some sort of worm thing associated with that? Is it like a Canadian term for worms, a totter or whatever? So of course I Googled it, and all I got was showing results for worm toddler and information about worms and kids, threadworms, ringworms, pinworms, parasites,
gross,
just endless pictures of worms wriggling out of a child's butthole, which is an image that is now in my head and now it's in yours.
I think that says more about your browsing history than,
Yeah, that was months ago, well before this ever came up, for the record. This is why I don't do research, because I actually looked up Western animation tropes on tvtropes.org for this, and they have one of the tropes is Big Fancy House. Wormaline Wiggler is shown to be living in one of these in one of the other specials. It is a big house, and Teddy is shown acting as a servant in Wormaline's household, implying that he lives there too. And then I do research and y'all just deny me.
I still think because I think you're wrong. I think you did the wrong research.
Yeah, she's a politician, so that is clearly her aide.
Yeah.
Have you not seen freaking Veep?
I think Ray doesn't understand certain jobs.
I see. Okay.
I think Ray doesn't understand most jobs, but that's a totally different conversation.
To be fair, this is a worm economy, so who knows? Who the fuck knows? But the closest analog we have is Anna Klumsky. So let us remember, T. Totters equals A. Klumsky.
Okay.
So This opens up with they're auditioning for a soloist for the big Christmas worm town party where everybody who lives in the commune is invited to come and celebrate Christmas together.
Bert I guess worm there are no Jewish worms in this society.
We don't want to talk about what happened.
I mean, you try to circumcise a worm once and you're like, nope, we're not ever going to do that again.
It's not good. Bert Worm is our protagonist. And you know what? Right off the bat, I hate him. Right off the bat, yes. He's given me strong Tunnel Rat in Sigma 6 vibes.
Yes, as thank
soon as
you.
Take the camera off of him. He has just found himself in some implausible scenario where he's destroying things.
I am waiting. I like wrote that down, and then I had a feeling that Chan was going to defend this fucker and be like, oh, what? But this dude straight up almost kills a man. And yeah. Rightfully so, everyone is like, dude, you need to stop. And then he's like, well, I'm a pathetic worm. And it's like, yeah, buddy, you are. Go fuck yourself.
I am exquisitely displeased that you think that I would defend this piece of shit.
Wow, do we all hate Bert?
Possibly more are like, no, it's not that he doesn't fit in. It's that he fucks things up.
Yeah.
His lives are in danger. And like, well, I guess nobody likes me. That's because you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, he makes it everyone else's problem. And I hate it. Like just if you're nervous, just like take a beat, just sit off to the side. But dude almost kills someone and then is like, oh, I'm so poor me. And then, I mean, like, I'm really jumping ahead here, but the whole town mounts a search party for him, which those worms billions of dollars.
No, we need to hold off on that because I have additional thoughts there as well.
Yes.
And we can't get bogged down. We got to get through this thing.
Yeah. And Gina, you talk about the money that was spent, but in a communist society, there are no states. There is no money. So that obviously can't be the case. But your take is understood at the same time, because Bert Worm, he's here and they just like take the camera off of him after, I believe, he fucked up his first thing. I don't even remember what it was right now.
He's carrying in a bunch of plates.
Thank you.
The other worm specifically says, do not try to carry those all at once. He does anyway, and then breaks them all.
He does. And then the camera pans off of him to let somebody else speak. 5 seconds later, we cut back. He is whipping around the top of the 20-foot tall Christmas tree, knocking all the ornaments off and nearly killing somebody. How did he get up there? Why is he up there? What was he trying to do up there? This is a pure, and all I could think about was Tunnel Rat and Sigma 6 running into this server room. And then next thing you know, he's just hanging from the ceiling by cables. There was no reason for him to suddenly be hanging by the, why is he on the top of the tree? No one asked him to do it. He's a disaster. And listen, I'm going to say this right now. This is a rarity for this show. When you lose all three of us in the first 5 seconds of your hero being on screen, that's a problem.
Yeah, and I will say, like, none of us even chose to be a contrarian. Like, usually one of us will sort of eat our pride and pretend to like something or pretend to dislike something rather than all
that's
agree.
Outrageous.
But this time we all just hate it so much.
It's outrageous. We all have credibility to maintain. Because if one of us came out and was just like, no, I can see where Bert's coming from, you would immediately be ostracized by society.
I honestly thought, because of the way Gina chatted about it earlier, I thought Gina was totally on board. So I was like, oh, boy, here we go.
No, here, this is what I will say. I hate Bert. I hate these worms. This special is terrible, but it's really no better or worse than a lot of other stuff that we've done. I mean, the message is clear, at least. It's not convoluted in any way.
I'll give you that, because at the beginning, I was just like, oh, God, this is going to be a thing where like everybody's going to learn to be friends at the end. And I was like expecting it to just be really dull and just kind of boring. And then they just like doubled down on the This guy is a lethal idiot. and we're going to make everyone feel bad for ostracizing him. I'm like, no, man, you do what you got to do. He almost killed a kid.
Yeah. And listen,
a baby.
And so what ends up happening is he's like, I don't know where to fit in here. And to me, that's your clue. Just grab a mop, dude. Like, sweep something. Like, you know, just don't worry about the big stuff. Clearly, you're the new person and everything is handled. But one of the other worms makes the disastrous mistake to say, hey, man, I'm going to give you a task. I'm going to give your dumbass a task. You're going to, I just need a ladder.
Can yeah, it's a very simple task. Like, if someone was hanging around, no matter how inept they were, I would be like, you can carry something, right?
Yeah. Get them chairs, man. Carry four under each arm and prove what a badass you are.
I mean, look, when this situation comes up, you put them in the box office. You have them collect tickets. That's how you do. Maybe you make him an usher if they can't be trusted with money. But, like, this guy doesn't look like he's going to, like, screw up the books or anything. He's just going to drop some pans on people's toes. So, hey, here's an even better idea. Hey, man, you want to help out? Stay the fuck home.
Yeah.
That's what they tell him to do. And then he becomes suicidal. So, really, there's no good answer.
Okay.
And I disagree. If we are to believe that there's money in this world, I could see a world where he sets the box office on fire and burns down all the receipts.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm basing this on basic indie theater protocol, but you know, yeah, Gina's probably right. You just give him a fucking mop and tell him to just go.
So it says go get a ladder. So he goes across the room where there are two ladders, one in use, one not in use. I'm going to let you decide for yourself ahead of time, which ladder did Bert grab? Yes, he grabbed the one with somebody at the very top of it, hanging something at least 30 feet in the air, and then dropped this man to his death. I mean, it should have been.
His worm. Dropped his worm to his death.
Dropped his worm to his death.
Worms have no bones, so he maybe would have been okay.
You know, he probably bounced. Let's face it, worms, you know,
been there and made things worse.
They got no bones.
But
he
tugs on it and like doesn't like he's like trying to tug on the like. I guess I would buy that he doesn't look up to see, like he just sees a ladder in front of him and is like, "Oh, here's the ladder. I'm very excited to get this ladder." But then, like when he tries to tug on it, it like resists, and he doesn't take a second to be like, "Why would this be? Why would this be a thing that is happening?"
I mean, this is you may or may not understand the concept of a ladder match, Gina, but I feel like it's one of the most gruesome experiences in professional wrestling, and it's possible that he's just like some super otaku fan who's just like, you know what, I just can't get enough of Japanese death matches. And I walk down the street and I just picture myself, you know, with entrance music 24/7 and just waiting for the chance to run some barbed wire across some dude's mouth and just go to town.
So he did this on purpose, is what you're saying.
I'm just saying he might be living out some fantasies. And as he's a sociopath, he doesn't understand that other human beings have feelings, you know, can experience pain. And honestly, they're worms. Who knows if they can experience pain? I don't know.
That's a good question.
I don't know that they do. But here's the deal. He grabs the wrong ladder, basically straight up murders this guy. Nobody's happy. And then Wormaline, who's in charge of this production, she's trying to get a promotion in this worm society by impressing the mayor with her talents at putting on a great spectacle. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what job she's trying to get promoted to, but that's a little weird because...
I thought she was running for mayor.
It's like head of the board or something like that. She says it multiple times,
like chairman or something.
Yeah, it makes me think that like when the like you know chair like one. When mayor is gone, it's sort of like the person who people defer to,
the city council.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. It's straight. Well, anyway, she sends Bert straight up packing. And you know what? There could have been a nicer way to go about it. But honestly, when you start putting people's lives at stake over and over again, like the time for kindness is over. The time for directness starts now. You know what I'm saying?
This is kind of like how the EPA or the bad guys in the original Ghostbusters movie.
That's wild.
Like, she probably works for OSHA. And she's like, look, there are violations aplenty here. You got to go or we're shutting this whole thing down.
Yeah, she's head of the union or something. I will say that, like, and I posted this on my Twitter account because there was a period of time where, like, if you needed to know who the, like, not wealthy, familiar, mean woman is, it's this sort of, like, rich lady turban thing that she's wearing. Mm-hmm. It's pearl earrings. Mm-hmm. It's just like her whole look is so, and like this is no longer a thing. But there was a period of time where like every single, you know, live action and animated series. Yeah. And she's got like a fur stole around her neck.
Fur stole's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fur stole, like the little, what look like pearl earrings. And then the sort of old lady turban with the jewel in the middle. It's a whole look. It's a whole vibe. She's not a good worm is what I'm saying. You can tell also, that she's a rich bitch.
There are many 80s villains who are called Wormaline. That's another tell that this is a villain.
Yeah, you can tell right as soon as she appears on screen, you're just like, oh, she's evil. Okay. Yeah, but she also
has a freaking British accent, so obviously.
It's not really British. It's more like, you know, what people do in an improv scene when they're like trying to be proper. Like,
oh, no, I am crystal clear about what you're talking about because I'm just going to fucking skip to it.
You can stop trying to deceive me, Miss Wiggler. Tonight I saw the real you. In a way, Christmas is a reminder to all of us of the most important qualities we can possess.
What is that? It's so weird.
That is an attempt at a British accent because that's what rich people have.
No, I think it's like overly enunciating being proper, but this is a person who clearly God, it's so weird.
That's somebody with a deep voice who's trying to over enunciate with a mouth halfway full of oatmeal. Like, it's really
it does sound like they put like marbles in the, you know, those diction like exercises with marbles in your mouth. It sounds like he has a marble in each cheek.
Yeah, it's hella bad. And also, and we'll get to it when we get to it. I don't remember a single scene where the mayor was actually watching her be shitty. Like, I'll just put it out there. I was looking for it. I didn't see it, but we'll get there. Because
this poor guy has to draw like 80 fucking worms. He's not going to get all of the ones in the background.
There's like 8 worms throughout this whole thing.
It's true. Guys, we get a song. One of
I was surprised.
I was surprised, and then I very much was not surprised. Can we please hear, because Bert goes home. I'll vamp so Chan can get it prepared.
Jingle bells,
don't know any good singers, do you?
Nope, that's not it, Chan.
Sure that's
you know that's not it, but that's delightful.
For some reason, I have this marked up on my notes.
No, correctly, because that is a song technically, and I want all songs heard on the show. But Bert goes home after he's hideously depressed. He literally goes home and puts on his finest suit, which I was like, you know, go for it. Like, and then he sings himself a sad song.
Is this not a Gina original? She stole it from fucking Worm Town.
Turns out, TV Tropes, finest suit.
I will not rest until we get finest suit on TV Tropes. Unrated
Tropes. Where's the
I don't know how
form?
One does that, but that will I will be able to die knowing that I had made a mark on American culture, which is all I ever wanted.
Then that's all we do. Chad, you got that song queued up for me now?
It's happened before. It's happened again.
That, by the way, that's what a serial killer says.
before I get in. Everything I do seems to turn out in a mess, but it's not because I haven't tried my best.
Okay. So,
okay.
Here's where we can, I mean, for me, the crux of this being a bad cartoon is that we have it right there, a genuine helpful lesson. Like, you have to believe in yourself. He's so nervous and he can't even get himself to audition. Clearly, what this guy is good at is singing.
Yes.
And sort of.
Any friggin', I mean, look, for the world that we have created, we're just going to take this as read that this is how things are. It's 1984. Jesus Christ, this is probably everything in the top 40 right now. He has a thing that he should be doing and he's not doing it. And so, you know, to become a fully actualized worm, he needs to, you know, like get the support of others and to live up to his truest potential, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they discover that he's secretly great. But instead, the lesson is you should be nice to people who are destroying your shit. And that is a terrible lesson. That is a lesson, isn't it?
Look, what I got out of this is the song is, first off, I swear to God, this is a Morrissey song, unless I'm mistaken. The lesson...
an 80s holiday song. This is...
wonderful. This is actually going to start getting into all our Christmas playlists, obviously. The lesson is, they can't be so mad at me because I tried so hard. No, you didn't.
No.
You put no effort into trying to do a good job. You just half-ass sleepwalked your way through a series of incompetent events. I still don't know how you got yourself on the very top of the tree, lost your balance, and started whipping around it. They didn't choose to put the camera on you in the moments leading up to that. But no, you did. You did not try. Your attempts were pitiful. They were foolish. You were right there while they were auditioning singers. Didn't stop to think to yourself, hey, I could sing a little bit. Why don't I give it a go? Instead, you tried to murder 16 people.
To be fair, I was Worms. Humming this song after I like paused it to do some put some Christmas decorations up.
There's no fairness there. You are just bad. You like bad things, and you are a bad person as a result.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Strawberry shortcake, and it's too sweet. Their pretend kisses make kissing a treat.
Each sold separately.
Baby strawberry shortcake, give your mommy a kiss. I love you, baby orange blossom.
When you squeeze their tummies, they blow sweet-scented make-believe kisses.
Delicious baby angel cake. Time to get ready for your nap. Don't you just love them to pieces?
Baby strawberry shortcake and baby orange blossom and baby angel cake, each sold separately.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
But yeah, this does sort of smack of, like, he was like, gosh, what do they want me to do? I tried my best. They cannot say I didn't try my best. I guess I'll kill myself. And again, he's making his problems everyone's problems, and I don't care for it.
Yeah, at one point, either right after or during the song, he just sits down and starts writing a note. And I'm not going to lie, immediately I was just like, oh my God, are we going there?
In Ray's world, the only reason anyone would put pen to paper is for a suicide note.
Look, if you are clearly depressed and it's the holidays. You're yep. singing a sad, sad song, and you whip out a pen and a piece of paper. There's only one thing that's going to go through my mind at that moment. And no, I do not want to sit here and make light of this. This is a very sad time of year for a lot of people, but I'm going to be honest about it. That's all I could think of was, how dark are we about to get on the Mirthworm Christmas special?
Here's the thing. For everyone listening at home who did not watch this episode, the next Shame 10 minutes are him trying to kill himself, but him realizing that he's a worm. So first he tries to hang himself, and it doesn't work.
He cuts himself in half, and now there's two of them. Depressed worm.
Then he like tries to blow his braids out, but he realizes he doesn't have thumbs. It's a whole shtick.
Worm guns are so useless because, like, you got to wrap around the trigger, by which point you can't get your head out to blow it off. You know what I mean?
What happened to us?
We're rewriting the episode in a better way, Ray.
Dropped on our heads as kids, obviously.
I mean, yes, and sadly, also yes. Oh my God. Okay. So he's deciding he's going to leave. He just got there, I would also point out. He's deciding he's going to leave town because he's embarrassed himself. And you know what? I see your point. His friend Crystal, the nice young lady who is clearly into him, she feels very sad. So she goes over to his house. And he says, look, they don't want me at their party. To be fair, one of the other worms explicitly said out loud to Bert, I do not want you to come to this party.
He's not wrong.
Again, communism, you've contributed nothing, therefore you will get nothing.
Yeah, she's actually just walking by and hears his dulcet worm tones.
Yeah, I was like, dude, tones. You got a good voice. Why don't you do that? And he's like, no, I need to kill myself instead.
I don't even think she like gets it out. I think he's just so depressed. At that point, I'd be like, all right, I'll see you later, buddy.
I mean, that's what she ends up doing because she offers him like three bites at the apple here.
No, she goes, like, she goes to scold everyone for being mean to him.
Yeah.
She scolds like, other adults for being mean to this worm.
She tries to get him to go, which, you know, fair. Like, oh, they didn't really mean that. And he's like, yes, they did. And spoiler, yes, they did.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But like she gives it a try and sees that he's so sad and then goes to, yes, scold everybody, which.
There's one step in between Robert Clark Chan, because she tries very hard to get him to go. And he says straight out, I don't want to go. They don't want me there. So she flips the script and says, you know what? If you're not going, I'll stay here with you. Really decent thing to offer.
Yeah.
She says, I'll stay here with you and we'll just like Netflix and chill because, you know, you don't deserve that. And he's like, I would never want that for you.
Yeah,
like, all right, you piece of shit. I'll just leave.
If this was real life, I would be like, all right, fuck you, dude. Like, I'm not, this is, you've made your decision.
I don't normally agree with Gina in situations like this. Gina, notorious bully, and
yes.
Does not appreciate men having emotions of any kind. So in a situation like this, normally she's like, fuck that guy. He should sack up and like, I don't know, drink your problems away. But in this case, like, yeah, that girl like did everything she could. I'm sorry, that worm did everything she could. And this dickhead is like, no, you go on to the party without me. I'll be fine.
Yeah, and he needs to be a little more appreciative also. Like, he needs to be like, oh my God, thank you. That's like so nice. You know what? Like, I'll go to the party since you're offering this, like, blah, 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 blah. But he doesn't even like really thank her.
No, I mean, she is being very decent to him.
And as someone of the male persuasion, who, yes, hoped that his mopey sad sack routine would get a girl to like hang around and, as Ray says, Netflix and chill, or, you know, in this situation here,
we can have our own Christmas celebration.
She's offering to stay, and this douchebag.
I don't feel much like celebrating, Crystal. I kind of need to be by myself right now.
Back off.
Please, Crystal. You understand, don't you?
What is that about?
Yeah, you understand, don't you? Yeah, go fuck yourself. I don't want this worm in my communist worm society.
Yeah.
He's just going to drag everyone down.
And he does. He does.
Yeah. Oh, no. He makes, much like everything else that he does, he makes life terrible for every other person around him.
Even in the end, the lesson is that he's useful once a year.
I mean, we'll talk about it, but he has a marvelous career ahead of him. Is going to be like a pop boy band idol, you know. Girls are literally going to be throwing their poonies at him.
Oh,
like this one is.
They're worm panties.
Yeah, he has an Ed Sheeran career ahead of him. So look forward to that, Burt Worm.
Oh, God.
But isn't that what Ed Sheeran's stage name was originally?
It was. It was Burt Worm. Burt Worm? A lot of people don't know that. He actually changed it from Burt Worm to Ed Sheeran to get away from all of the Merry Mirthworm Christmas comparisons.
Wait, so is Burt Worm going to appear in the new Game of Thrones show?
I hope so.
If House of the Dragon does not feature Burt Worm at some point, I'm out.
I'm going to take a picture, a screenshot of it, of Burt Worm. I'm going to take a picture of Ed Sheeran. I'm going to put them right next to each other. And I think we can agree that we haven't seen them together in the same place for a reason.
No. In fact, you know, I'll just put it out there. Let's reboot Merry Mirthworms with Ed Sheeran as Burt Worm.
Oh, yeah. Someone tweeted him.
Ed, get on board. You know, he's rich. He could buy the rights to this. We could probably buy the rights to this, to be quite honest.
You know, he might already own the rights to it. You know how musicians sometimes buy weird things, like people's bones and stuff? Maybe this is something that Ed Sheeran decided he needed.
You know what? Ed Sheeran just rolls up. And he's like, you know what I got in the back of my limo? The Elephant Man's remains. I got him. You want to see him? No, Ed. Excuse me, Bert, to your friends. Listen, this is where we cut to the party. Bert has now left a note on the door, Martin Luther style, and left town, as far as we know. And we go to the actual Christmas party, where Crystal gets up on stage and just starts annihilating the entire town for their treatment of Burt Worm.
Burt Worm decides to leave in the middle of a snowstorm. Like he can't even do this right. He can't even leave properly.
Frustrating. She's getting on the entire town for their treatment of Burt. Treatment that we all agreed was completely valid.
And was only perpetuated against him by one individual. Like, she's scolding the entire town. Yeah. And I guess her reasoning is like, look, this old lady, she doesn't know who told him this, but I guess like none of them stood up for him, I guess, is the lesson. I don't know.
No. Because the people who came down on him are the people who were hurt by him.
Yes.
Only the old woman was like, you need to leave. Everyone else was sort of like, well.
No, the dude that had the bucket of paint dumped on him. I don't know if you've had a 30 pound gallon of paint crack you in the skull, but it's not nice. And if you don't see it coming, you could die. You get a real ass concussion.
Look, this is where the most realistic part of the entire episode happened for me, because Crystal goes on stage, calls them all out for their behavior, and it's like college football when somebody does something real, real bad, and they cover it up rather than just kick that person under the bus and go forward. They just straight up defend the institution above all else, and if the mayor hadn't have been there, they would have absolutely shut that shit right down, because a Wormaline is just like, look, he was killing people. We asked him to leave. That was the correct decision. We've done nothing wrong. Is this a case where Wormaline speaks for all of us? Because she's right.
Yeah, yep. I think if Wormaline, like, you could, there is a world where instead of, like, a crotchety old woman, Wormaline is, like, a, you know, like a 30-year-old sassy woman who's, like, totally right. And that would go down a lot easier. It's just that, like, Wormaline is, like, a rich bitch. And so people are like, oh, it was really mean. But if she was, like, you know, like a 30-year-old, like, working gal who's like, hey, man, you are like, I've been planning this for a very long time. You have been here for 2 minutes and fucked everything up. Everyone would be on her side.
Yeah, that message comes a lot stronger from Ugly Betty than it does from Cruella DeVille.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can absolutely agree with all
also,
of this.
Also, weird choice of 30-year-old career woman.
listen, I nailed it, though. Thank you. High five me. You didn't think you were going to get an Ugly Betty reference from Ray today, but you did. Is it because my wife has been binging every season of Ugly Betty, so I've seen many episodes over the last few weeks? Probably. But the real deal here is you got it. Great job, me. Great ref. Okay. So we all agree in the room at the end of the day, because the mayor's there to squash the dissenting opinions, let's give Bert a second chance. Now, a second chance at what? A second chance at serial killing? I don't know. I don't like it, though. But then he says, okay, y'all, Crystal, you get together and go, oh, Wormaline, because you effed this up, even though we all agree she was in the right, Wormaline, you got to go out in the snowstorm to his house and go bring him back. And she's like, what the F? And I was with her in this moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this brings me to...
You bird bait, I'll never forgive you for this. Oh, but Wormaline, I didn't see the mayor. How could you miss a big fat boob like him?
I was not ready for one character in the Worm Mirthworm special for Christmas to call somebody else a big fat boob.
Yeah, it does seem like Jerry or whatever the guy's name is who made this probably had to get special permission from his church to say this.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting big old titty references.
In the olden days, it meant something different.
Yeah.
I'm here for it, don't get me wrong. It just surprised me.
And juicy kazongas.
I couldn't have loved this character anymore at this point. At this point, near as I could tell, she's the hero of the piece. The villain was right.
Yeah, I think like if I was in a town where a dude like almost killed multiple people, could not be talked out of his performative depression, and then left in a snowstorm, and everyone was like, "Oh no, we have to go save him. We have to go risk our lives in the middle of this storm to save him." I would be like, yeah, not gonna happen. I'm good."
Yeah, so let's, Chan, I know you got a lot to say about this. Let me set it up and then just let you go. I'll wind it up and I'll send you off like a pair of chattering teeth. They find the note, the five or whatever of them, find the note on the door. They realize that he's skipping town, he's getting out of there, but they need to bring him back. So the end result is the entire town of Wormville, what's the name of this? There's an actual name of this city.
Deadwood.
It's Deadwood, absolutely. Deadworm. I'll find it. I have it written down here somewhere. Anyway, they decide break up into groups of threes. Everybody in town has to go out in this devastating snowstorm,
mm-hmm.
and find him and bring him back. And look, Chan, I'm just gonna say, tell us about this. I have some thoughts, but if you hit it, I won't worry about it.
This is a lethal, again, lethal snowstorm. Mm-hmm, it's a blizzard. There's one person lost, and because he is lost, dozens of worms are going out to try and save him.
Including little kids. There are little worm children out there.
Including what? Mama, I'm cold. There's an infant in this woman's arms. They're so concerned about this fuckface that they send out a mother with a child who is cannot walk because he is so tiny. Mother, I am cold. This baby is going to die of hypothermia to save this fuckhead. And where does it turn out? He is.
this is a real slap in the face.
Motherfucking day. Everyone eventually gives up because people are going to die. Literally. Sorry, worms are going to die. We got to get back someplace warm and safe. They go back to the town hall. And where is this guy? He's in the fucking fake snow, just snoozing away.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently he felt like the storm was a little too cold. So he decides to take a nap in the place where he terrorized earlier.
Not too cold for an 18-month-old to go out and look for his ass.
Yes. Yes to all. The most upsetting thing to me was the fact that they sent a baby out to find him. A baby who is not equipped to be out with its infirmed mother. Normally he said go out in teams of three. No, but not you two. You also, two back each other up and go out in the blizzard.
Here's the thing. It's worth noting that earlier when Bert Worm was like singing about how he tried his best, no one could deny that he tried his best. He's having like a fantasy of belonging in a town. And the thing that he does is rescue an infant from the snow, puts a baby worm on his shoulders and walks it through the snow. Like to contribute to this society, I guess. And now he's directly responsible for what I assume is that child now growing up with an impaired immune system.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, the name of the town is Wormingham, just for the record. I did find it.
Oh, it was really terrible when the police turned all those fire hoses on the people of Wormingham.
Wormingham, Alabama. Yeah, that was a rough one.
That is very upsetting. The thing is, his explanation when they were just like, Bert, you were here the whole time. He goes, yeah, there's a fucking blizzard going on out there. Of course I didn't. Who would just go out in that blizzard for an extended period of time? What am I, stupid?
Every fucking worm in this town is ready to go out in a blizzard to save his ass. What has he done? Whose life has he saved? What has he sacrificed? Anything?
This calls for a sack beating as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But I just wrote here the simple term, he's trash.
Yeah.
Bert Worm is absolute goddamn trash and I hate him.
Agreed.
I don't think it's good to actively hate the protagonist of your piece. Especially when that piece is a goddamn Christmas special.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, the mustachioed gentleman is the star of this this worm thing.
He thinks
that the mayor?
Is?
No, the white mustachioed guy who's like...
Well, the white savior.
Who was like trying to help Bert out earlier. The one who told him to get the ladder. And he just seems like a real upstanding, head on his shoulders kind of worm.
Yeah, I don't have the ref off the top of my head, but that guy keeps this town running from behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, he eventually like takes charge and sort of puts the old rich lady in her place. And then you realize like, oh, they're setting it up. So maybe he's going to be the whatever job she wants.
The new showrunner of the Christmas pageant.
Yeah.
Now, look, and they say, come on, dude, Bert, you got to stay. Look, at this point, this is non-fucking negotiable. You gotta stay, Bert.
This is a sunk cost. We've already put out for you. You fucking stay in.
Yeah, he needs to stay and work off all those extra police hours that they put in mounting a search and rescue party for him.
Bert Worm, at this point, I'm Tom Nook, and you are stuck at Animal Crossing.
Yeah, stop upgrading your house, man. Pay off the first house.
Thank you. He says, but guys, I can't contribute anything. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, that might be true, but you could sure sink everyone around you by your mere presence.
Yeah, all he had to do this whole time was just stay out of the way. If he had started this episode by just finding a place and taking a nap, none of this would have happened.
Literally, that's what he ends up doing anyway. That's the most upsetting. If he just would have said, guys, I'm going to go sleep this off. I'm going to go get real hammered because I'm real depressed. We'll see you tomorrow. We don't have an episode. And maybe we're better for it.
Here's the thing. Like, you really want to be a singer. You don't have the confidence to do that. Go see a worm therapist, bro. Like, fix your shit so that you can be a contributing member of society.
Yeah, Bert. Again, he made his problems everyone's problems. And that's my most hated quality.
Yeah. Bert, just go to wormbetterhelp.com.
Do we have a promo code for that this week?
We do. It's promo code FUCKBERT. That piece of trash.
Yeah.
That's our promo code. Just go. If you're a worm and you're listening to this and you're feeling depressed around the holidays, check out wormbetterhelp.com.
Get your shit together before you drag other people down with you.
Seriously, don't destroy all of Wormingham, okay? At this point, the mayor turns and tells Wormaline, the villain lady, I can see you for who you really are. You're not getting that promotion. I should fire you. I don't remember, like, other than, like, she called him a boob. Like, I don't really recall her doing anything devious. It seems like she was generally trying to be helpful. She was complaining about it the whole time. But, like, I get it. But I would be complaining the whole time, too, if I was her.
This mayor, like, cuts deep, though. Like, he's like, you're not a good person. Like, it's the most important thing is to, like, be a good person, not be devious.
The most important qualities we can possess. Love, kindness, patience.
What is this voice?
Understanding.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to crack VOs.
She's terrible. Like, and her face glazes over as it should if that is the voice coming at you.
Yeah. Yep. If I got fired by that voice, yeah, I'd be out. I would leave town in a blizzard.
How could I have lost the election to that guy?
Yeah, but then he says, this is Christmas, and I'm going to give you what you didn't give Bert, you piece of shit. Uh-huh. A second chance.
Yeah, and he fails to add, now granted, Bert did almost kill several people, including a couple of babies, whereas you just sort of talk trash behind people's back. So it's not the same thing, but I'm going to give you a second chance.
Because you're the one who's ruining this town.
Yeah, what the F is happening? She was right about every single thing. It does suck to have to go out in a blizzard to find somebody who isn't actually missing.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You kidding me right now? Frustrating.
Christmas Worm Eve.
Christmas Worm Eve.
I don't think he even apologized at any point.
No, he's clueless.
He still thinks he's the victim. That's the very frustrating part to me is he's nearly murdered people on this festive holy holiday. And at the end of the day, he's like, they hurt my feelings. No, dude, you deserve to get your feelings hurt. You are trash.
I mean, he could have been put in jail as far as I'm concerned.
I'll put him in worm jail.
It's hard because I was this worm. I was the one who sulked and moped and thought that, like, everything was, you know, everybody else, you know, coming down on me. I was half right. All right. But, like, in the stories that you tell, you don't hold up this kind of behavior as the way you're supposed to live your life. Like, you don't fit in. You don't have to fit in. That's fine. You know, but, like, find a way to make it work for you. Don't just sit around and become other people's problems.
Yeah, I guess if it was this or he becomes a right-wing YouTube celebrity, maybe this is the better solution, but it's not by much.
I think he still probably becomes a right-wing
100%
celebrity. Yeah. I think once he gets a little taste of, it's like comedy guys who, like, were dorks and then go into a community and people are like, oh my God, he's so funny. And then immediately become a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Gina, that cuts a little too close to home.
Ray, no one ever said you were funny.
Thank you. You know what? You know who said I was funny? You know who came backstage at one of my shows to tell me I was funny? TV's Gina Ippolito. Sharna goddamn Halpern. That's who. That is a true story.
Yeah, you mean, and, now
and
that's
it
the
doesn't
real,
make me look good.
Sharna's the real Wormaline of this story.
It's the real Wormaline.
I don't know. There was an SNL sketch that got cut last week, and it's online. And it's actually pretty funny. Basically, it's a woman who just gets like a hole blown through her torso and then her head, and she gets decapitated. And the character's name is Charna. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, geez.
There has got to be one, possibly several old IO people.
Oh, yeah.
In that writer's room.
Oh, that's real funny. Well, here's the deal. Bert ends up finding his hidden talent where we knew he would. He can sing real good. So we got back-to-back songs to take us out. So Chan, let's hear Bert sings, because he is good at singing.
No.
No, I mean, we got to hear
No.
It.
No.
'Tis the season to be jolly. Fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel. Fa la 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 la. Toll the ancient Yuletide carol. Fa la 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 la.
Now that was the second of the two songs, because he does a solo first. Then
yeah,
he says,
and then
everybody
says,
sing along.
Yeah.
And we do Deck the Halls. Which must be, like, what do you call it? Public domain.
I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
I mean, look, major props. I'm going to say right now, just off the top, major props to the guy whose name I absolutely already have forgotten for just getting this to exist. Just for making this a Jerry Reynolds. And Jerry Reynolds did the voice for Burt Worm, Teddy Toddlers, Wilbur Diggs, Bags, Homer, Prince Pringle, and Arm Brewster, who I assume are characters from other specials as well. Jerry Reynolds is a one-man machine who had a vision of 2-inch-tall anthropomorphic earthworms who are terrible, and he made it happen to the tune of 3 specials on Showtime. I'm going to say right now, this isn't good. I respect the hell out of Jerry Reynolds.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. Like, and he can sing. And he can sing a little bit, too. The writing, not necessarily on board for there. His personal acting was not that bad. Even though I did not like the character, he made me believe that that character was a thing.
Yeah, he and seems like a real wiener.
Yeah, but then his animation, honestly, for what he had to work with, I mean, not the worst animation I've ever seen.
It is perfectly acceptable.
I am coming around on the Mirthworm show just
I am
purely
not.
As
nope.
purely purely as nope. as Stop as it. Something that exists.
It is a thing that exists. We can all agree on that.
This is the Fez, if you will, Fez the video game. Which was like a one person who made the whole thing. And it's wildly impressive that they were able to put all of this together.
I was trying to figure out if you meant that this was like an 11th Doctor video game that had been made, or perhaps a game that was based on that 70s show character that was like maybe referenced in the show and then someone actually made it.
No.
But it turns out you were talking about some deep video game nerd shit, and I don't understand.
It's an indie game. Look, here's the deal. Real quick. Fez. I recommend it. It's an indie game where you are a character, a very blocky character wearing a Fez, and you're living in a two-dimensional world, but you can slide it so things move in 3 dimensions, thus creating the puzzles around you. How do you manipulate the environment to unlock things and get around the area? It's a very interesting, dynamic game. Unfortunately, it turns out the one guy who did make it went nuts or something and like yanked it because he didn't like getting feedback from people anymore or something. I don't know the whole story, but it was real weird. It was real weird.
Eventually he went on to buy SpaceX. So
I think you're thinking of the Netflix interactive Black Mirror episode Bendersnatch. Cause that was the plot of it.
Kind of. Yeah. Honestly, that is also something that's very good. I highly recommend it, that episode. It's very good. I enjoyed it. I like, look, if you know me, you know I like me some Choose Your Own Adventure / Find Your Fate G.I. Joe books.
Jesus Christ.
And you know, if given a chance to watch a Netflix Black Mirror episode, that literally is a Find Your Fate book.
That's true.
I'm on board. I am on board for that experience.
Play it multiple times.
I still need to do, there's another, I believe, Netflix one starring The Undertaker, right? From wrestling. And the New Day band, as you help them navigate the Undertaker's house, where there are traps set up trying to murder the members of Chan. Are you familiar with this?
What are you talking about?
Oh, look this up. It is a digital visual Choose Your Own Adventure story featuring people from WWE in a haunted Undertaker house as they try to like reach and then face off against the Undertaker. I can't believe you don't know this exists. I haven't watched it yet, but maybe we need to have some sort of some sort of party where we make this happen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you see it now. Yeah, don't just let you stew in that. That exists. That is a real thing. And I'm excited that it, look, I would do it in a heartbeat. I can't believe I haven't already done it. Speaking of which, who wants more Find Your Fate, G.I. Joe, Choose Your Own Adventure books?
No!
That would be my Christmas present to you, but also your Christmas present to me. I would say go on Twitter, but that's not a thing. So find us on Threads or the Facebook group of Knowing Is Half the Podcast on Facebook.com/ Knowing Is Half the Podcast. And just say, hey guys, hey team, hey friends. I want more Find Your Fate G.I. Joe books. Ray now owns 17. I went on a spree. Ray now owns 17 of the 20 G.I. Joe Find Your Fate books. I think it's high overdue to do another one. Let us know. If I can keep putting these messages, I will screen grab every one of these I can see, whether they be 5-star reviews for the show, whether they be like I don't check the Twitter anymore. It's a pretty terrible place to be. But you can find us on Threads at Knowing Is Half the Podcast, Instagram Knowing Is Half the Podcast. You can go on the Facebook group. You put messages up, I will screen grab it and I will put it in our show chat over. And if I keep barraging them with enough requests, they will, and I know this for a fact, eventually succumb in and make it happen.
If you do that, if any of you go on any of our social medias and request a Find Your Fate book, you are not my friend.
Now you have to do it.
Yeah. What more incentive do you need than that? I'll tell you right now, if you make that request, We will find a way to watch The Undertaker Choose Your Own Adventure story with Robert Clark Chan. I don't know. I don't even know how that works. I don't even think that's possible. But I want it. I want it for all of you.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our episode, Merry Mirthworm Christmas. There are two other ones, and I kind of feel like now we got to do them.
New.
Kind of, Gina, where do you come down on this?
Yeah, we got to complete this trilogy. I need to find out how Bert dies.
I knew when it came to Gina's completionist tendencies, it would override her ability to get as far away from Bert Worm as physically possible.
No, I need to see how this, he needs to get his comeuppance at some point.
That's, you know, not how holiday specials work. Gina.
I choose to believe, Chan.
And my understanding is the Mirthworm trilogy is among the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Red, White, and Blue are three movies.
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures. But
oh my
Ash
god,
is like,
Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's like,
is it because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them. If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.